Welcome back, everybody, to our Let's Talk Dallas County program presented by the Perry Fairway. This is Coltrane Carlson, and we have two guests with us here today. We have the Dallas County Sheriff, Chad Leonard, as well as Sid Samuels of the Samuels Group, and to talk to us about the proposed bond referendum for a new law enforcement center. So we want to thank the gentlemen here joining us here today. And first of all, Sid, could you just tell us a little bit about what you and your group have been doing with this bond referendum to try and educate the public about it?
Started out with creating a website, dallascountyvote.com. I would encourage listeners to go out to that website and take a look at all the information that's been posted out there in regards to common questions to the actual report that we were engaged to put together for Dallas County, and looking at the cost of continuing to do what we do today versus the cost of the referendum and looking at building a new facility.
All right, Sid, now I've heard that you and your group have kind of done the same thing before as far as bond referendums for law enforcement centers and such. What makes this project here in Dallas County different? Is it harder, easier to get across to people? How's that been going?
You know, we've done a number of these throughout the Midwest, and I wouldn't say that there's a lot more difficulty in regards to this particular project, but I think we have very differing concentrations of population and going from an urban feel to more of a rural feel and people understanding what kind of an impact that has to themselves and in the community.
All right. And Sheriff Leonard, I know that was reported at the Board of Supervisors meeting yesterday that you've done about 52 different presentations so far about the bond referendum for the law enforcement center. Out of all those presentations, have you heard any feedback or what the comments have been like from people?
So far, it's been nothing but great things. I don't think we really have an organized opposition to the bond referendum. I think people have realized that the issue's not going away. I think they're, for the most part, some of the people that were not supporting it in the past have come on board and are on the Citizens Committee and actually out really supporting it this time around, because they feel like what we're putting forward to the citizens is probably the best product that we've produced in the last several years. And I think we've done a good job as far as consolidating the building, reducing it, and making it just efficient for the staff. And we're just going to be able to work out of it.
And Sid, I know you and your company have gone out and done some of the number crunching about this type of thing, because when people see a $22.9 million bond referendum out there, they might think, oh man, my taxes are going to go up. But that is not necessarily true. Can you tell us a little bit about what the numbers aspect about this bond is all about?
Sure. When we put the study together, and again, I'll encourage people to take a look at it in more detail, but we really looked at two scenarios when looking at the model and what you're currently costing you, and the growth rate that's happened in Dallas County and continues to do shows an increase in cost. And as we have limited number of beds, we have to transport those people outside of the county. By constructing a new facility, we're looking at the opportunity of housing those people locally. So really exchanging the cost of transportation and the expenses associated to that to capital actually saves taxpayers over a 30-year period of time $22 million. And if you really look at the tax implications of what that really means to us, a $100,000 house that's been assessed at $100,000 and then with the rollbacks really has a net taxable value of $52,000, an estimated monthly increase in their tax bill of $1.24. It's fairly minimal. The more disturbing piece is by doing nothing, that will accelerate. And if you look at the charts in the study, you will see that over that period of time where that $22 million becomes more and more impactful. The cost or the break-even point for this is really happening in the third year, or in 2020 as it's projected right now, where the cost of transporting is equal to the cost of constructing new. And every year past that, the increase in the cost of transporting inmates to other facilities becomes greater than actually constructing the facility here locally.
All right. So, Sheriff Leonard, I know that part of the aspect about this is maybe something that people don't know a whole lot about, but the jail inspector comes in every single year and inspects the jail. And there are some parts of the jail that you're allowed to go away with, but it's only a Band-Aid type of solution. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
As most of you have heard me speak about this issue in the past, March of 2018 is our deadline. And kind of back up a little bit, year 2000, the sheriff's office was granted a variance from the state of Iowa, allowing us to expand our facility at 12 additional beds, giving us 36 actual beds in the facility with the ability to have a jail capacity of 48. Well, we reduced that in March of next year back down to the original jail capacity of 36. And when we talk about that, to kind of give you a general idea where that puts us in the state of Iowa rankings, there's 99 counties in the state of Iowa. 98 of those counties have a county jail. And we are 10th in population, but we lose those beds next year. We drop down to 49th in the state of Iowa for jail capacity. Currently, with the loan of the 12 beds, we are 36th for jail capacity. But in 12 short months, we lose that, and we drop down to 49th. And, you know, that's huge when you talk about the numbers of inmates that we have, because we've spiked over the winter months of 77 inmates. And when you only have a limited amount of actual beds, and then you talk about segregation and trying to separate inmates, you know, whether it's a male and a female or a violent juvenile or mental health condition or a suicidal condition or one of these reasons that we have to segregate people, whether it's co-conspirators or crimes, those type of things, we do not have the facility to do these things that we are mandated by law to do. So, you know, large part of that's a huge problem, and that's causing some of our overcrowding. That's talking about overcrowding and using other facilities in the state. It's getting to the point now where we might have prisoners in 2, 3, and possibly 4 different jails, and it's kind of a logistical nightmare when you've got to send transport officers to all those different locations and try to get people back for court and do different things. And so.
And that's today's Perry Fairway Let's Talk Dallas County program with our Sheriff Chad Leonard, as well as Sid Samuels with the Samuels Group. Perry Fairway, always fresh, always affordable. Back with more here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.